Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. We pray this morning that you'll open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand about the new commandment given by the head of the church. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, we studied Roman numeral 1 in the John 13 passage, 34 and 35. Roman numeral 1, new in origin. It came from Jesus Christ. The old one came from Moses. Secondly, new source, a new spiritual creation. Three, the new command to love and a new love is a new love that has never existed before on earth. Before God became man, this love did not exist. Four, new direction toward the new spiritual creatures. And five, a new foundation as I loved you. Now this morning we start Roman numeral 6, new impact. New impact. Verse 35. And if we think about it, this shouldn't surprise us at all. If we're people who study that love is a force has impact. Therefore, it stands to reason that the new commandment would have a new impact. Now, first of all, new impact in each individual believer. Secondly, a new impact in the world. Not just in Israel, but the whole world. So let's look at John 13, 35. 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. As we begin the study this morning, you have to ask yourself a question. What do you desire the world to know about you? What do you desire your family to know about you? What do you want your neighbors to know about you? What do you want people at work, where you work, to know about you? Think about it. We all think about dying. What do you want people to think about you when you die? That you were rich, smart, in control, fun-loving, beautiful, you're involved in women's rights or Save the Whales, that you made everything right as you could in society, and so on. Now, here's the deal. Once you decide, this is where I want to be remembered when I die, then you have to decide how you're going to make it possible. How are you going to cause that to come about? So our question this morning, what is it that authenticates you as a believer in Jesus Christ? How will angels know? How will other people know? For that matter, people in your own family, how will they know you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Because you say so? Many Christians like to think it's my good works, my morality, my knowledge, my interest in spiritual things, my singing, my going to church, and on and on and on. Let's find out what the head of the church has to say in answering this question. How will people know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Verse 35. By this. Now the Greek construction, preposition, in plus a dative case, can be translated in this or by means of this. So we'll just say by means of this. By means of what? By means of the new commandment. That you obey the new commandment. Spiritual love. Not by means of production in your life. Not by your spiritual gift. Not by your knowledge. Not even by your faith. Not even by your faith. With this in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Which is why we're in our study. We left off at 1 Corinthians 13, 1. But I want to show you something interesting about it. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues or languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and an echoing sound. If I have the gift of prophecy, that's how some people want to remember it. Boy, I have a lot of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Know all mysteries. That's astounding. Know all mysteries. And all knowledge. That's frightening. That somebody, all knowledge of the Bible. Certainly that would be the clue. And if I have all faith, because you have faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have spiritual love, I am nothing. Verse 3. If I give my possessions to feed the poor, there's your production. And the Greek says, to the point where I become poor. And if I surrender my body to be burned for the benefit of others, but do not have spiritual love, it profits me nothing. Now let's go back to John 13. What I wanted you to see here is, this is a long list of some wonderful, desirable things. But they're not how people are going to know. Those things do not authenticate you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So in verse 35, by means of this, all. Now there is no word for man here. Now in the next hour, I'm going to talk a little bit about textual criticism. Because on this day, in 1687, the first real textual critic of the New Testament was born. And we're going to take a look at him in reference to Colossians. But the word anthropos is not there. It simply says all. Now, why do I make that? Okay, this little adjective, adjectival noun, takes you right into the spiritual warfare. Angels are included. All mankind, all angels, all elect angels, fallen angels, believers, unbelievers, Satan included. And of course, this includes all those in running to your path in your life. All. By means of this, all. No. Future, middle, indicative of the Greek word gnosko. Now, there are several words for knowing in the Greek. I absolutely love the Greek. I love the Hebrew too. Hebrew to me is so concrete. When they want to talk about something, it was just concrete. And they would just, they want to talk about something, let's kill a lamb, watch the blood go out, and there you learn. See? But Greek is more philosophical. Greek is more out there. You have to think when you deal with Greek. And so, this word that we have here means to know by experience. Problem? There are many types of experiences. Here it means to know by the experience of observation. Seeing, hearing, observing. So, angels, man, observe us. Observe us. Learn by the way we act, by the way we talk. They'll learn. They're learning. We may like to say, I'm a Christian. But then in our dealing with our family, dealing with our finances, dealing with people, we have no indication at all that we're Christian. We're rude. We're inconsiderate. No compassion. All and on. And the way we treat each other. And that's what's going to show. Not what we claim. Not what we claim. But what is observed. And by observing us, what do they learn? Even angels, supernatural creatures, cannot read your mind. Only God can. And that's a frightening thought. God can read our minds. Then they can, but they can learn about us and know about us by observation. See? And the same principle applies to members of the human race. So much for the doctrine of privacy. I don't know where it is, but it isn't there. Angels are watching, people are watching and learning. Now, unfortunately, there are many believers who think that their lives are not that important. I feel very sorry for these believers. This kind of thinking doesn't even come close to the Word of God. We are here to witness for Christ. Every one of us are here to witness for Christ. The world is going to know something about you. Not by what you tell them, but by observing you. By observing your spiritual love. The thing about this love, spiritual love, this love saved man and defeated Satan. He hates this love. And when you exemplify this love in your life, all areas of your life, he hates it. He hates that you love as Christ loved. But he learns about us that we do. And you become his target. He's got to stop you. He'll interrupt your marriage, your finance, your social life, every part of your being, a local church, pastor, whatever. He's got to hit it, whatever way he can. So, observe God. Let's just observe God. For God so loved the world in this manner. Let's observe Jesus Christ. Out of love, he died for all mankind while we were his enemies. Observe you. Do you have the love of Christ in you? What do people observe when they observe you? Okay. Now, this gets important. We're not talking just about the people of the church. You can put on a big facade. But in your family, at work, in your social life, in your life in general, what do they observe about you? I have to share this with you. In Judah's family, there's just all kinds of branches. But in one branch of the family, one of the daughters of that branch wrote on Facebook. It's not only Facebook, this kind of stuff. But it said that she said, I wish that my family practice what they claim to be in Christians, because they are pitiful, they are rude, they are inconsiderate, they are judgmental, and she just listed a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, she just let the family have it. And when Judith read it to me, I just busted out laughing. Well, there's somebody that's been hurt. Right? But probably very true. People, the people you live with and around, and these are the ones that know what you're really like. If love is there or not. So it becomes so important. So our verse says, by this, all will know. Now, will, future, coming very soon. In fact, 43 days from now, after the glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church age, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, starts. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 3:2. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Where what we're studying is explained further. 2 Corinthians 3:2. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Well, this time he does have anthropos. By all men. Verse 3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, pastors, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human hearts. People are reading you. You've got to understand this. They're reading you. This is not a personality thing. There are people, even unbelievers, who just have wonderful personalities. I met unbelievers, I just liked them. I just wanted them as friends because they were just cool people. I liked the way they laughed, I liked their interests, things like that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It doesn't matter whether you have a stone personality. What comes out from that stone personality, if the love of Christ is there, it'll be noticed. If it isn't, it won't be. So, we're talking about something that is supernatural. Please know all that you are in God's sight. You are an open letter to the world. You are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17. You are God's field. You are God's building, 1 Corinthians 3:9. You are a new man, Colossians. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You are ambassadors for Christ. You're dear and precious to Jesus Christ, John 17, the Lord's Prayer. In our study, you're an open letter for the world to read. What do they learn about you when they read you? See, you read a letter, they read you, they read us, they read our lives, what we're like. See, and this is in all circumstances. It is amazing how the love of Christ attracts. Now, I will add, the love of God, Christ also causes enemies, but it will attract some. I have a video that Jalen Hinn sent me of this Muslim who lived in his community. It's a real story. And let it be known, he didn't like Christians, didn't like Jews. He was in a wreck, car wreck. Christians came to the hospital, cared for him. He wasn't married, cared for him. And he said, why do you do that? Why do you do that? I don't like you. And they said, because you're a human. Because you're made by Christ. And slowly, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. This kind of love attracts. It will also repulse some. It will make them very angry. It will also cause you to be, cause them to respect you and want to know you. Okay. By this, all will know, future, throughout all the church age. Now, the middle voice here is important. The middle voice here is used to show you are benefited that the world knows that you belong to Christ. You're benefited by that. The indicative mood, the reality of how all people know about you. You think Big Brother is something? I don't know if he's talked about it anymore. Is he talked about it anymore? My day and time, Big Brother was a big deal. No? Okay, then forget Big Brother. But used to be Big Brother's watching you and cameras everywhere looking for ID has a whole series, See No Evil, and they show how crimes have been resolved by cameras across the street, down the street, all this kind of thing. You're always under observation. And so this is not a good time to cut his somebody the doctrine of privacy, because when we think about it, in the angelic conflict, we just don't have any. Okay, what will they read about you? What will they observe about you? By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Introducing new impact. Point one. Got to take up a few points here. A disciple is one who belongs to someone in a special way. We do not belong to a nation. We do not belong to a race. We belong to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or red, yellow, it doesn't matter. That isn't who you belong to. This is tough for me. Because I thought I belonged to Texas. But when studying this, I realized I don't. I belong to Jesus Christ. We're aware of how important this is to a lot of people. I am Muslim America, African American, this kind of thing. You can get all upset about all this kind of stuff. And you know what would upset the world? If we as Christians stood up and said, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian American. I'm a Christian this, I'm a Christian that. The world couldn't take that. But point one, special relationship is brought about by being a disciple. Point two, the word denotes relationship. A special relationship is established by being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not just a believer of Jesus Christ, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. Point three, the word refers, technically, to being a student of someone. Someone who learns from someone else. We learn how to love by following Jesus Christ. We are His students, His disciples. We want to learn from Him how to love other people in life. This is what a disciple does. We follow Jesus Christ, and because of His love, we let the world know we belong to Him when we love the same way as He loves. Now, I didn't make a transition in my notes. I knew what I was doing in my head, but I didn't do it in notes. This is a new set of points from that last point. Sub-point one, or whatever you want to call it. One, to serve Jesus Christ, we follow Jesus Christ. This means He set the pattern. He established the pattern for our lives. How we're going to love is set by Him. He set the pattern how we're going to love. He set the precedence for everything in our lives. Remember, Jesus Christ grew up studying the Scriptures in His humanity. We study the Scriptures. He loved in this new love. We follow Him in that respect. Point two. So, what Jesus Christ is saying here is that by all this, by loving as Christ loved, all will know you're mine. Not because you say so. Not because you say so, but because you love one another as I love you. That's why. It's just amazing when our claim doesn't match our life. And people in our family know it. Our husbands know it. Our wives know it. Our children know it. Our parents know it. People in the family know it. Well, they sure act a lot. They go to church all the time. But boy, I know what they're really like. Say, your life doesn't measure up to your claim. We'll study this in Colossians 3 in the next hour, where we have, since you are holy, chosen of God, do certain things. Our life should correspond to what we claim we are in Christ. By saying this, Jesus Christ is declaring your purpose. Why are we left on earth after we believe in Jesus Christ? To let the world know your life is about Christ and what His love is like. People, He's not here. If people in your family, supermarket, work, church, wherever you go, are to know what Christ's love looks like, it'll be through us. He's not here. They can't see Him. He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. If they're going to know what Christ's love looks like, it'll be from us or not from us. It's that simple. So this is what He's saying. Let the world know that your life is a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Satan, you lost. You lost me. I now belong to Christ. Nice words. But do you live it? Do you live it? One of the biggest criticisms of the church in the world, Christians don't love like Christ did. I still love the story of Samson. What's your secret? What's your secret for your strength? The world should be asking, what's the secret of Christians' love? How do they do that? How do you forgive 70 times 7? What's your secret, Christian? Still not asking, because we act just like they do. We go to court like they do. We talk like they do. We judge like they do. We offend like they do. There's no difference. The world isn't impressed. And look at the witness, the effect of the lack of the witness in America today. Point three. A disciple is one who centers their life around the teacher, around someone. They want to imitate that person. Love as that person loves. We're not here to be disciples of man, but of the God-man. One of the interesting things in studying classical history is the students of Aristotle, Socrates. Young men would come from all over the world just to sit, listen to Aristotle talk, listen to Socrates talk. If you want to know more about that, Phil McMillan can fill you in on it. See? But they wanted to. I studied under Aristotle. And today, people still talk about things that Aristotle said. That's how great he was. And I always say, if you don't want to be or live by the Bible, you don't want to glorify Christ, all you want to do is live your life with as few problems as you possibly can, become an Aristotelian. That was his objective. Live your life to circumvent problems. And that's how a lot of Christians live. Don't live your life to witness for Christ. Just don't cause any problems. Don't have any problems. Let me tell you something. That doesn't work. Paul did not get into any kind of business. He was a tent maker to make some money, but he didn't go into the business of it. Paul did not marry. I'm not getting involved in that battle. See? He did everything he could. And guess what? An angel came and just hit him on the side all the time, beating him up. You can't avoid the conflict, people. Don't try it. Don't live like a monk somewhere off in a mountain. You're not going to get away. So you have to understand, you've got to decide, what do you want the world to know about you? That you were a monk in the mountains of Italy and you hid away from the world? Or that you loved as Christ loved? What do you want the world to know about you? Four. Our purpose in life is to witness to all that we belong to Christ. By saying, by this all will know that you're mine, Jesus Christ is giving to us our purpose of our life. To be a witness, we belong to Him. In a visible world. In the invisible world. In the invisible warfare. Now, centuries ago, Satan broke relationship between God and man by sin. And he assumed rulership of the world. And this means over mankind. We were in his kingdom of darkness. And you were born. You were born in Satan's kingdom of darkness. Then, Satan boasted to God, there's no way you can get him back. You're holy. You're perfect righteous. They are unholy. They are impure. They're unclean. They can have nothing to do with you. There's a big wall, big barrier. They belong to me. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, God is perfect righteous. God did not condone unrighteousness. He cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness and impurity. So, what's he going to do? God took the challenge. I can make the unrighteous righteous. I can make the impure pure. So, he did it out of his love. That's why Satan hates the love of God. Hates the love of Christ. Hates spiritual love when it comes from you. His love did what Satan said can't be done. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. No one. And that's in the Bible. In Job. God said, I can. I will, and I will do it alone. I do not need man. That's why Jesus Christ has to be God. If Jesus Christ is just perfect man, then God needed mankind. But being the God-man, he does not need man. So, this is what his love did. So our purpose in our life is to declare to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ, that his love defeated Satan, that his love caused Satan to lose us. By the love of God, the love of Christ, God did what Satan declared could not be done. Out of this love, God found a grace way to redeem mankind out of Satan's kingdom. Found a grace way to do it. Not of works of man, but by grace. And here's the point. When we love, as Jesus Christ loved us, we are declaring that we belong to Jesus Christ. This means that Satan lost, and that God is victorious. Every time you love as Christ loves, you declare to Satan, to angels, and to all mankind, Satan, you lost. Jesus Christ is victorious. Jesus Christ came into Satan's kingdom of darkness and rescued us out of the kingdom into his kingdom of light. Our purpose in this life is to be a witness in the invisible warfare before angels and men that Jesus Christ is victorious. We belong to him by faith alone. This is the great battle. It's a battle in regard to the love of God. It's not about the creative design of God that he can create people, those to believe, these not to believe, all this kind of thing, like a big electric train, and he pulls the switches. Love is the issue. The love of Jesus Christ. That's the issue in the conflict. By this love, the world will know who Jesus Christ is. Sub-point 5. Issue in your life. I don't care how young or how old you are. You have to decide by whom you are possessed. By whom you are owned. Now, an arrogant person resounds, I'm not owned by anyone. No one owns me. My husband doesn't own me. My boss doesn't own me. My parents don't own me. I'm not owned by anyone. Oh, yes, you are. If you're a believer in Christ, you are owned by Christ. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. Verse 28. Be on guard. Okay, there you are. Be alert. For yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. It's written to pastors. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. See, this isn't my flock. You're not my congregation. You're the Lord's. You're the Lord's flock. I have a responsibility to you before him. I don't belong to you. I belong to him. I don't answer to you. I answer to him. Look at Revelation. Let's go to the last book of the Bible. Revelation. We'll be taking a look at Wednesday night. Look at Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. Angels, heavenly choir, saying, worthy are you, talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. You were slain and purchased for God with your blood from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. He purchased him with his life on the cross. Acts 20 dealt with a pastor. Let's look at young pastor Titus. Another young pastor, Titus. Titus chapter 2. Verses 2 Timothy and Titus. Titus chapter 2. Verse 14. Who, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us two deaths on the cross, spiritual death, physical death, to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Well, it's complicated. He did redeem us on the cross from the lawless deed. He did purify us, made us holy, did make us his own possession. Whether or not you're zealous for good deeds is up to you. Not every Christian is. In fact, very few Christians are. But the point is here that we're looking at it. He redeemed us for his own possession. You belong to him. Belong to him. Our society has allowed preachers, pastors, teachers to move away from biblical understanding of a husband and wife in marriage. Husband is an authority in marriage, period. He has the final say in a marriage, period. But because of our society today, we don't like to push that. Therefore, we don't understand what it's like. Men or women. Men because they don't want to do it. Women because they don't want to do it. We don't understand what it's like to be possessed. To belong. See, a husband should learn, okay, my wife's going to do what I say. I'm responsible for what I say. I've got to protect her. I've got to make sure my decisions are for her benefit. The lady learns, the wife learns, by obeying, submitting. But we don't understand that today. We don't like to submit to teachers in school. We don't like to submit to policemen. We don't like to submit to anybody. Nobody owns me. Nobody owns me. We have to understand we are owned. We are possessed by Jesus Christ. And being owned by him, we must obey him. We must submit to what he says. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you're mine. If you don't want people to know that you belong to him, I will never forget the first marriage, and I've done it every time since, where I was marrying a young couple, and I was Friday night, we're at rehearsal, and I present to you Mr. and Mrs., and she says, oh no, I'm keeping my family name. I'm not taking his name. I looked at her and looked at him and said, okay, if you'd rather be identified with your father than your husband, that's fine with me. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think she was going to let me do the wedding. That did not go over very good. But that's the way it is. It isn't her name. It's her father's name. Period. It's not her name. So she'd rather be identified with her father than her husband, and her husband's okay with that? Fine. Fine. See? We're so against belonging. I'm not a slave. Slavery's horrible. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a slave of him. That's that, pure and simple. So, it is up to each one of us, as believers in Christ, to decide if you're going to belong to Christ. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ. If you're going to witness to the world, I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not my own person. You know what the word Christian means, I hope? The word Christian is a slang expression. It's meant to intimidate us. It means little Christ. That's what it means, little Christ. Oh, you're just a little Christ. You don't think for yourself. You can't decide for yourself anything. You just got to follow Christ. See? And that's why when I learned that, people say, you're a Christian. I say, I hope so. And they, what? And I hope I do follow him. That's what the word means. All right, let's go back to John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Question. Do you desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Be careful before you answer it. It sounds so nice to say yes. Of course I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want all the goodies. Think about it before you answer the question. If you desire to be a disciple, then you must love as He loved. And always remember, nothing will make greater demands on you than to love as Christ loved. It cost Him the cross. So be careful when you answer the question. Do you desire to be a disciple of Christ? By this, all will know that you are My disciples if. And this is what is known in Greek as a true third-class condition. Here it is where your free will comes into issue. This goes with the imperative of Jesus Christ to love one another as I have loved you. Now, all will know this about you if. Okay, you have expressed your free will twice already. Once you've expressed your free will, I believe in the existence of God. God consciousness. At that point, God owes you the gospel. This old battle, what about people who've never heard? If they do not believe in the existence of God, God does not owe them the gospel. But if one person in a remote area of China, Africa, wherever, New York City, does say, I believe in the existence of God, the true God, God will get you the gospel. Growing up in the Baptist church, we would have one week, whole week, devoted to missions. And I'm sorry I haven't kept that tradition here. But a whole week, and they'd bring in the missionaries, and we'd do this. And often we would study, in our mission study, missionaries who would come back, in their mind, failures. I have hardly anybody believe in Jesus Christ. Nobody liked me. They didn't want this, they didn't want that. Did one believe? Yep, that's why you were sent. You were sent for one. You are the way. You are the faithfulness of God. You were faithful to God. God was faithful to that one person. You were faithful. God is faithful to that one person. And you being faithful to God, gave them the gospel, they responded, and they're in eternity with you because of the faithfulness of God. See, that's why you got to understand these things. It's not a matter of numbers. God is not going to hold anybody responsible for numbers. He's going to hold you responsible for what you did, your part. So this is very important here. And so the first thing you decided was God consciousness, yes. Gospel hearing, do you believe that by faith alone and Christ alone you have eternal life? I believe that. That was your second decision. I believe that, and you're saved for all eternity. Now, those are one-shot decisions. Believe in the existence of God. Believe in Jesus Christ, His Savior. A person can believe in Jesus Christ, His Savior, at 7. And by the time they become educated and really smart, too smart to really, they're so smart they understand the gospel stuff isn't true. The Jesus stuff isn't true. And I don't believe that anymore. I just believed that when I was a kid. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry for you because you're going to be eternity with God. Because you believed in Him. He's got you. I'm sorry. You don't get out. See? Now that you are in Christ comes the big issue. See? You have to make a decision each day in your life. Renewed each day. Renewed each day. And that is a decision to love as Christ loved. Over and over, you have to make this decision throughout your life. See? You may get tired of brushing your teeth every day. You may get tired of combing your hair every day. You may get tired of bathing every day, all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, until the day you die, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to love as Christ loved today? And that means, am I going to be filled with the Spirit? Because this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What do you want the world to know about you when you die, when you're alive? What do you want your neighbor to know about you? What do you want people at work to know about you? What do you want people at church to know about you? What do you want your husband, your wife, friends, people in your family to know about you? If you want them to know that you belong to Jesus Christ, the only way they're going to know this is not because you say so. In truth, it will be they love, you love as Christ loved. That shouts, and that's all that they're going to know, and that is what they're going to know about you. So how you answer the question, what do you want people to know about you, is extremely important. And you don't get to say, well, I want these people to know I'm of Christ. I don't care what these people think about me over here, so I'm not going to deal with their right. Don't get that decision. See, it's your life pattern. Angels are watching. Man is watching. So how will people speak of you today while you're alive and after you're gone? What will they think about you? Verse 35. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if, it's up to you, on a daily basis, you have love for one another. This is a present active subjunctive of echo. The word echo means to have, to possess. And we studied how you have this love. You have and possess this love by a decision toward the Holy Spirit. See, remember, you're not making a decision about love. You're making a decision about the Holy Spirit. You don't say, yes, I want to love as Christ loved, that's what I'm going to do. No. You make a decision about the Holy Spirit. It's like in Colossians, do not lie to one another. You don't make a decision not to lie. Unbelievers can make that decision. You want to do it under the Lord? You make a decision about the Holy Spirit. He will cause you not to lie. He will work the wonders of God in you. So our decision throughout the day of our life, every day, when we wake up, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's not about others. It's about the Holy Spirit. This is your practice. This is your, should be your practice in your life, to love one another as Jesus Christ loved. Unfortunately, many believers will never do this. They don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have a dental assistant nurse, or a dentist, and we've gotten into some really good conversations. She goes to a Bible church. And between you and me, I was shocked at how little she knows. Because she goes to a Bible church. It isn't a Baptist church or Presbyterian or Methodist. She goes to a Bible church. And I ask her simple questions. Like, how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? She just looked at me. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't know. Nobody's ever told me. That's never come up. Don't you think that's important? And I don't do it when she's in my mouth doing anything. I'm not going to bother her then. But when we're just talking, don't you think it's important to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And she's a college graduate and in dental school. She said, yeah, that is important. And so I prick her with questions as we go through it. And what's the most important question for a non-believer in Christ? She had the audacity to sit there, I don't know. Well, don't you think it's how to be saved? Well, yeah, of course. See? What's the most important question for a believer? Well, I don't know. Don't you think it's how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm so happy that now, because I repetition. Every time I go in, every 3 or 4 months, I say, now, what's the most important question for an unbeliever? How to be saved? Good. What's the most important question for a believer? How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? By faith. And she just smiles. By faith in the Holy Spirit. And we go, right. See? But people, you've got to understand, that's so essential. And we'll see that as we look at the book of Acts, starting Wednesday night week. So this is a decision about the Holy Spirit. And we are motivated to trust the Holy Spirit, because we desire to be His disciple. I desire to be His disciple. So since I desire to be His disciple, faith in the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit will empower me. Verse 35, if you have love for one another. Not if you love, but if you have this love. How do you have this love? By the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from the flesh nature. The flesh nature cannot produce this love. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. Now, again, this is another of the same kind. You have this love for one another. Another of the same kind. Another believer in Jesus Christ. In your home, in your family, in your church, in your work, in your social life, everywhere you go. You have this love for one another. There's just something wonderful about knowing someone's a believer. At my bank, this girl's name is Christian. I couldn't believe it. That's her last name. And I walked up and I said, "Are you?" And she looked at me and she says, "Well, I try." And I went, "No, no, you don't try. You either are or you're not by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you ever believed in Jesus Christ?" She said, "Yes, I have." Big smile. I said, "Then you are one. See? And we're going to be together forever." And she went, "No, she didn't." But it just, when you meet someone and they're a Christian, you're a Christian. It's just wonderful. At the dinner college, at the hospital, wherever I go, and if you meet somebody, and most of the time, they don't expect this to be coming up, but when you ask them, or "I assume you are," I've said that, "I assume you're a Christian," they just smile. "Yes. Yes, I am. We're together. We're like-minded." Doesn't matter what church, what race, what economic status, you believe in Jesus Christ. So, what sets you apart? What authenticates you as being belonging to Christ? Loving as Jesus Christ loved authenticates you. This is the distinguishing mark of what characterizes you as belonging to Christ. Now, Israelites, they're known by circumcision and rituals. Disciples, the Pharisees, were known by their legalism. Disciples of John were known by their baptism. So, what is it that distinguishes us as disciples of Jesus Christ? What authenticates? Not because you say so. People, we know people lie. My goodness, they lie all in court. You start, well, they don't do that anymore. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. They learn that ain't gonna work. And people lie. Right there on the, in the courtroom. So people lie. It's not because you say so. See? If you learn anything in the world, you should learn Christians lie. People can claim anything they want. But in this case, the truth is going to be made known. If you believe, if you love as Christ loved. The world should be asking questions like, what kind of love is this? What kind of love forgives 70 times 7? What kind of love strengthens, encourages one another? To love as Christ loved, that's what kind. What kind of love is this that serves one another? That humiliates self for the benefit of another? That sacrifices for the spiritual benefit of another? What kind of love does that? The love of Christ. That's what we're to have. So we're ready next Sunday now to get back into 1 Corinthians 13. Let's close in a word of prayer. It's so simple. We don't have to learn a lot of doctrine. We don't have to persevere over torturous sufferings. All we have to do is to love as Jesus Christ loved. Simple, but not easy. Because the flesh nature doesn't want to. Simple, but not easy. Day in and day out of our lives. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use these things to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.